Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bukharos Daf Lamed Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the very top of Daf Lamed Aleph. We find ourselves in the middle of a series of brisos that were dealing with the issue of accepting Chaverus. Chaverus is a state of believability with regard to areas involving trumas and maisus, tithing one's produce, and tumas and taras, and maintenance of ritual purity when necessary. We have a topic heading that appears in the outside margin, one of the features of the Shas Ozer, that is the Gemara that you find on your screen, which serves as the cornerstone of Gemara markings, are topic headings and structural notes that appear when needed. In this case, our topic heading under the word nosei reads, Anoshim shekiblu chaverus, people that had accepted upon themselves this level of credibility, v'chozru l'suron, and then they went astray. They returned to their old ways, if you will. Haim mekablim oisom b'chazora, do we accept them in return later if they want to regain their status of credibility? The Gemara at the top begins with a Tanaic source you can see in a frame, as are all Tanaic sources framed in our marking system. Tana Rabbanan, v'kulon shechozru bohen. This opening phrase itself is a machloikis between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam. We are going to use the Rabbeinu Tam's pshat in this particular source, who says that this is referring to those who had accepted once upon a time the chaverus status, and then they went astray. They then were suspect in violating their chaverus license. V'kulon shechozru bahen, all of those who had once accepted chaverus and then went off the path, ein mekablun oison olamas divrei Rabbi Meir. They can no longer gain entrance or re-entrance into this state of chaverus. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, chozru bematmonios ein mekablen oson. If when they stopped practicing the requirements of chaverus and they stopped only in private, but in public they seem to continue conducting themselves, being careful with tithing and tumas and taros. Well, if they went off only in private, but in public they were putting on a good show, so to speak, ein mekablin osan. As the Tosfos explains, they are in violation of goine das brios. They're fooling the public. So people like that, that were trying to fool the public, those are the kind of people we won't accept in return. However, befarhesya, if they were consistently violating the chaverus status, and now they want to come back, if they were, befarhesya means in public, but means across the boards, in public, in private, they weren't violating, they weren't being gone das, they weren't trying to fake anyone out. So, mekablin oison, we will accept them in return. Iko diamri, and now another approach to this is as follows. Im osu divrehen b'matmonios mekablin oson. That means, according to Tosfos, that if we knew that they were practicing their chaverus even in private, in other words, before they went astray, they were careful in private, so then, after they go astray and want to regain entrance to chaverus, then we will accept them. However, befarhesya ein mekablin oisan. Meaning, befarhesya means in public, but it means if we don't know that they ever practiced their chaverus, except in a public fashion, but in private we don't know that they were ever careful in the requirements of chaverus, then we won't accept them in return. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha Omrim, Bein Kach uBein Kach, under all circumstances, Mekablin Oisan. If they want to come back into the fold, they want to come back into Chaverus, enjoying Chaverus status, we will accept them. Mishum Shenema, Shuvu Bonim Shoivivim, because the Pasuk implies that return all of you, even those who are Shoivivim, those who are sinners, who have gone astray in all areas. If someone wants to come back to be reaccepted, we will accept them. Omar Rav Yitzchok Ishkvar Akoy, Omar Rab Yochanan, Halacha Ka'oisa Hazug. So Rav Yitzchok, in quoting Rab Yochanan, says that the Halacha will follow Rabbi Shua ben Korcha and Rabbi Shimon, which expressed a lenient attitude with regard to accepting people in return. Tanu Rabbanan. We have another Tanaic source. Berishoyna hoyu omrim chover v'nase gabai doichen oisoi mechaverusoi. A person who had been a chover and then accepted a position as a tax collector for the government to collect taxes from the Jewish people. He is considered someone that we can't trust anymore, and therefore he's removed from office, or he's moved from chaverus status. Piresh, if he leaves the gabos, he leaves that position as tax collector, ein mekablin oso, we won't even accept him back as a chover. Chazru lomar, then there was a later decision, as opposed to the source began with Borishona, and now Chazru Lomar, Piresh Harehu Kechol Adam. If he leaves the Gabos, then he's treated like anyone else. And that entails, that it means that they could gain their Chaverus status back. Ravuna Barchio Itzdericho Le Shaita. This expression of Itzdericho Le Shaita means that he was someone that the Chachomim needed to ask questions. In other words, he was a source of Torah information, so they needed him to answer questions. Hava'ayel gabe rabo Rav Yosef arba me'azuge derabonon. The great Rabbo and Rav Yosef, along with 400 pairs of Rabbonim, would come to seek his counsel and his rulings. Shoma de osu. He heard they were coming. Kotur luhu arba mea tachtiki. He prepared for them 400 chairs. Lasof shamu dinase gabai. They then heard that he had become a tax collector. Sholchu lei. They, upon hearing that, they were not interested in learning from him anymore. So they sent a message. Zil lechashivusei, zil lekadmusei. Go to your importance, that which you chose as importance, namely, go to your tax collecting, but we're not coming to you. Shalach lehu, he sent a message back, but Hadri bi, I have turned away from the gabos. I am not a gabai. I am no longer a gabai. I stopped that. Rav Yosef lo ozal, rabo ozal. Rav Yosef wasn't impressed with his having left the office. He still didn't go to him, but Rabbo did. Rav Yosef Amar Tanina, Rav Yosef in not going to Rav Huna Barchia, even though he left the tax collecting position, it says in the Tanaic source, Piresh Ein Mekablin Oso, that even if they leave the Gabos, we don't go back, that we don't accept them anymore as a chaver. Rabbo Amar Tanina, but Rabbo says we also have in actually the same source, we saw this just above, Chazru Lomar Piresh Harehu Kechol Adam, that if he leaves the office of Gabai, the tax collecting office, he is treated as anyone else, and we would accept him back. Tanu Rabbonon. Before going on in the Gemara, let us take advantage of our topic heading that we see in the outside margin under the heading No Say. Adam Choshud Legabi Bechorosov, Avalo Legabi Kodoshav Umaisroisov. We'll see the Gemara discusses a person being suspect with regard to ruling concerning the appearance of a blemish on his firstborn male animals. On his own firstborn male animals. The reason for being suspect about this is that he may claim that it's a permanent blemish when in fact it's not, and he's doing so only so that he doesn't have to care for it anymore. Because with a bechor, there's nothing else you can do other than leave it around until it gets a blemish, at which point you could slaughter it. However, with regard to one's sanctified korbanos or meiser behema, if he testifies about a blemish that appeared on animals sanctified as korbanos or animals counted as the meiser behema tithe, the 1/10th of any annual the annual births of a particular person's flock or herd, if he testifies concerning a blemish on those animals, even though they're his own, he is believed. The Gemara will deal with this distinction. Another point that will be discussed is kamot srichim lirois mum b'chor. How many people are needed when a ruling is given concerning a blemish on a firstborn male animal? The Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Kol habechoros adam roya chutz mishel atzmo. A person can rule on the blemishes of any bechor except for his own. V'roya es kodoshav, v'es masroisav, v'nishal al taroisav. He can, however, rule concerning a blemish on one's own sacrifices and on one's own meiser behema that happened to develop a blemish. And he can also rule concerning issues of ritual impurity if a suffix of tuma arose concerning taros, and he doesn't have to go to another chacham, another wise man. Omar Mar, Kol HaBechoros Adam Roya Chutz Mishel Atzmo. Omar Mar means we have a quote here from the source we just learned that a person cannot rule concerning his own bechor. You'll see a double underline here highlights the stages of birur. That when we've written on the side, you could see under the mivneh heading, these are shlavei birur, stages of clarification. Kedei ladas kama tzrichim lirois mum bechor. How many are needed to rule concerning a mum of a bechor? So b'mai askinon, this source that says that a person cannot evaluate the blemish of his own firstborn male animal, what are the circumstances? If you were talking about one person, mi mehemon, well, would one be believed? The Rashi points out that a mum of a bechor is not the blemish that appears on a firstborn male animal is able to be slaughtered if three people rule concerning it. So, not one. Ela bitlosa. Are you going to say that there are three people that are evaluating the blemish? Well, if that were the case, then why is the owner himself excluded? Why can't he be one of the three? Umi chashidi. Are owners of animals, if they're part of a group of three, are they really suspect? V'hatnan. We have a Tanaic source from another area of halacha, which deals with issues of women that are leaving a certain type of marital status, in this case through either miyun or chalitza, thereby enabling these women to marry anyone else. And in this source we will learn that it's a process, these are procedures that take place in front of three dayonim, three judges. One of them, if he should so desire, can marry this woman, and will not. We won't suspect that really it wasn't a
a properly done chalitza, and he was there only in order to see to her release, her marital release, in order for him to get her. Why is it that we don't suspect that? Well, because his ruling isn't a sole ruling. He's together with others, so that because he isn't the sole force in operation, so he can't be suspect of allowing her release. Let us see now the Gemara inside. So after saying that it couldn't be one that is judging the blemish, Ella Betlosa, it must be that there are three. Well, if there are three, Umi Chashidi, would an owner be considered suspect if he were a part of a group of two others, a total of three, Vahotnan? We have this Tanaic source that says, Miano o Shecholza Befonov. Miun is a situation where a girl had been married rabbinically to by her mother or brother, in a case where her father is dead, so they can give her over into marriage, but it's a rabbinic level of marriage, and therefore before she becomes a gedola, before she reaches 12 full years of age, she can say, I don't want to be with this man, and she just walks out the door, and that's called miyun, where she says, I don't want to continue with this husband that I was mated with rabbinically. Oy shecholza, the case of chalitza is the widow of and has a surviving brother-in-law, where she left no children from with her deceased husband. She is bound to marry the brother-in-law, the surviving brother, under the institution of Yibum, in order to get out of that, if there is no desire to complete this marriage with the surviving brother, so there is a shoe removal ceremony that takes place, known as chalitza, and this is done in front of three judges. So the source says that miyano shechotzel befonav yisaena, one of those judges could marry her, b'nei shehu beisdin, because he's part of a beisdin. There are two others there, so that he can't be suspect as being, we'll call it foul play or misrepresenting things in order to get her, because his decision on its own wouldn't have carried any weight. He was part of the decision of a basin of two others. So the same thing with regard to the ruling of a blemish. If a person has his own, if the ruling on a blemish involves three people, and only one of them is the owner, so whatever he says, he's only one third of the required opinion. So why would he not be accepted? Le'olam bechad. We are talking about one. But you'll ask, if you're talking about one, but didn't we say that one does not judge on these matters? Doesn't judge blemishes? Uchdomar Rav Chisdom Rav Yochanan. Based on Rav Chisdom Rav Yochanan's teaching, B'yochid Mumche. He says his teaching elsewhere, and the resolution is, if you have an individual, but he happens to be a mumch, an expert in the law, so then even one can judge. Hochanami, so to overhear with regard to ri'as mum, with regard to viewing blemishes and ruling on them, b'yochid mumche. We are talking about a yochid. So since he is the sole decision maker, and we know that if it's his own bechor, there would be a tendency to rule that it's a blemish, even in a case when it's not really a blemish, so as to save him from the need to continue caring for it. Because an unblemished firstborn male animal nowadays is a type of thing, there's nothing you can do with it. You can't sell it, you can't shear it, you can't work with it. And you're basically, it's a long-term wait till it develops a mum. So when the mum appears, he's saving himself from all that trouble. Therefore, if he's the sole decision maker, we can't rely on him. V'roya es kodoshav. But we said, on the other hand, he can rule concerning a blemish on sacrifices. So why is there no suspicion here? The Gemara will answer that in the case of sacrifices, there would have been another way out if a person really doesn't want to bring it as a sacrifice. There was another way out other than, let's say, foul play in the realm of blemishes. So since there was another way out and he didn't use it, since he is now ruling on the blemish, he must be telling the truth. De boi, had he wanted to get it out of the realm of sacrifices another way, Mitchell Elio, he could have gone to a Torah sage and been shoyel. Shoyel is a process of rescinding a vow, and an animal that is offered as a sacrifice is a type of vow, and it could have been undone another way, so that if he is already telling us that the blemish is an official blemish, a meaningful blemish, we can rely on him. Umas Roisov, likewise, with regard to the 10% tithe of animals born any given year, he can testify about a blemish on them, and we can rely on him because he had another way out if he was simply let's say interested in avoiding the Meiser Behema obligation. The E boy, had he wanted to Shadi Bay Muma Bakule Edre, he could have, before counting out the animals in the tithing process, he could have imposed a real blemish on each one of his animals in his herd, and thereby saving himself from bringing the tenth animal as a sacrifice because of the blemish. And if he had done this before the counting took place, there would have been no Avera in what's called Matil Mum B'Kodshim, because nothing was sanctified. So, well, since he had this alternative way of avoiding bringing it as a sacrifice, and he tells us that the blemish that appears in his own Meiser Behema is a real blemish, we can rely on him. V'nishal al taharoisav. A person can rule concerning his own produce, telling us that it is tohor. Now, if you'll say that maybe there's a suspicion here that maybe it's not really tohor, but it's tameh, he has no real vested interest in saying that it's specifically tohor. Tohor chazu lei bimei tumaso. Let us say it really was tameh. He's not losing. He could eat that when he himself experiences tumah. We can see this in the Rashi at the end of the commentary on this perek. He says, "V'nishal al tarosov, einu choshed lomar al tomei tor." He's not suspect on saying regarding something that really may be tomei as being tohor. The im tomei osain, if they really were tomei, ma yafsid, what does he lose by having tomei food? Ha chazu le bimei tuma. He can eat the tomei food when he himself is in a state of tuma. Ubechulin komairi. Here we're talking about common food as opposed to truma. The truma tamei lo chazio leafilu bimei tuma. So if this discussion were concerning actual truma that is tomei is something that one cannot eat even when he himself is tomei. At this point, we begin a new perek in Maseches Bechoros. We begin the fifth perek. Kol psulei hamukdashim, all animals dedicated as sacrifices that developed a blemish, and hence they're called psulei hamukdashim. They're rendered unfit to be brought as sacrifices. Now that they have a blemish, we say nimkorin beitlis v'nishchotin beitlis. They can be sold in common butcher shops. They can be slaughtered there. V'nishkolin belitra, and the meat can be weighed out using a scale. Chutz min habachor v'hamaiser. These opportunities or possibilities do not exist when it comes to a bachor nor by a maiser. Shehan yoson lebailim. Rashi In the lower part of the page, you could see Bechor Umayser Sheim Nimkorim Biyoker. If they were to be sold with a lot of profit, Hanaosin Lebailim, the money that is received for their if they were to be sold. We're at this point suggesting they're not allowed to be sold, but if they were to be sold, the money would go to the owners. Bechor Hanaosin Lekoyin Umocher Habosu Chomishirse. The Bosu Bechor Nechal Lechol Adam Akoyin Notel Domov. And in the case of a Bechor that became blemished, and a Kohen received it, he can sell that to anyone he likes. He can sell the meat. U'l'Kohen Kori Bailim Shel Bechor. The Kohen is referred to as the owner of the Bechor. U'Maiser Hanosu Chazu B'Yokel L'Bailov Yisrael. He. In the case of a Maiser Behemo, one-tenth of one's annual births was declared a Maiser Behemo, and it developed a mum and were sold. So the money would go to the owner, the Yisrael. And so as to enable commoners to make more money, we're not going to treat them lightly by allowing their sales in a public fashion. Namely, limochro bi'idlis el v'beisel. V'afal pi shelo yikvitzu alei b'nei adam kolkach. Since it's not being sold in a store, but he'd be selling it only out of his house, you won't have a lot of customers vying for the meat. V'ein nishkolim b'litro elo b'oimed. Likewise, it's not sold by weight, but only through estimation. V'im yafsid, if as a result of this, the owner won't get full value for the meat, less lon ba'. It doesn't bother us so much. It's not of concern to us. What we become interested in is enabling where the benefit of the added funds by having the meat sold in formal butcher shops and being weighed as opposed to sold by estimate, thereby getting more money for the meat, where that extra money goes to the Beis HaMikdash for the purchase of new sacrifices, there we're interested in maximizing the profits. Therefore, we will compromise on the honor bestowed to this meat, and we will allow it to be sold publicly in public shops and weighed on scales. The Mishnah goes on to say, "V'shoytlin mona keneged mona bebuchor." Rashi explains, "V'shoytlin mona keneged mona bebuchor sheim yesh lo chatichas boser chulin shenishkila belitra." If a person had a piece of common meat that had been weighed, and he knows how much this piece of meat weighs, he can use it as a balance on a balance scale. That's lishkol basar b'chor kenegda, to measure the weight of b'chor meat opposite it on the other side of the balance scale. So that even though we said in the case of the b'chor in general, it's not sold by weight, but if you want to determine its weight in this fashion, one would be allowed. The Gemara, at the top of Omid Beis. Before learning the Gemara, we're going to see shortly some double underlinings that represent a series. The Nosei Mivneh heading that accompanies this piece of Gemara on the outside margin, where you can see a double underline featured. These are shlavim, these are stages, levarer, to clarify, emas, under what circumstances, at what point in time are we talking when it's hadikotani regarding that which it says kol psulei hamukdashim hanaoson lehegdish v'nishchotin beitlis, regarding the point that was made in the Mishnah that psulei hamukdashim, the increased money that one gets from them goes to the Beis HaMikdash, and they can be sold. They can be slaughtered and sold in butcher shops. So at what point in time are we talking? This will become clear as we go on in the Gemara. Kol psulei hamukdashim hanosin lehegdish, and it went on to say, nimkorin beitlis v'nishchotin beitlis, itlis being a butcher shop. Emas, and you'll notice we have a long question marking. To the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you see a shin that's encircled. So the Gemara is asking, when is this? If we're talking about a point in time after the sacrifice was redeemed after, of course, it had a mum. Well, hanosan lehegdish, hanosan lebailim hu. After an animal develops a mum, it belongs to the owner. So why does the source say that hanosan lehegdish? Elo lifnei pijono. Maybe then it's talking about before the animal has been redeemed. Well, nishchotin ha boy hamodav arocha. How can you say that they are to be slaughtered? Don't they have to be stood up and evaluated in order to determine how much they are redeemed for? So at this point in the Gemara, you can see we have a bracketed section, and these brackets are here just for an initial skipping, so that we can maintain a certain logical flow. And if we skip the bracketed section, we say Elo li'olam le'achar pidyon. The source is referring to a point in time called after the redemption, and then we'll have to explain why does it say hanosan lehekdish when if it's after redemption that the owner eats the meat. So where is the benefit to hekdish? But in the meantime, we have this bracketed section. The role of the brackets is to point out that the question of isn't there a need, how can you say that prior to pidyon the animal can be slaughtered? What about the need for amod avarocha? So the Gemara will say, well, this is really dependent on two opinions, and this question of how can you say lifnei pidyonom applies only according to one of two opinions. So that's what the Gemara now says. Ha nicha, things will work out as far as the issue of hamod avarocha. L'man diomar kot she mizbech lo hoyu b'chlal hamod avarocha. There is an opinion that says that things sanctified to the mizbeach, to sanctify it as sacrifices that cannot be used, they are not included under the Torah's requirement for evaluation that the animal stand up to be evaluated. In other words, there is a concept of hamod avarocha, but it doesn't apply to kodshei mizbeach. And hence, this wouldn't be able to be raised as an objection. Elo l'man d'yamar hoyu b'chal hamod avarocha, ma'ikol ha'meimar. But according to the opinion that says that kodshei mizbeach, and that's what we are dealing with right now, were included in the need for hamod avarocha to be stood up and evaluated, how can the source say that nishchotin be'itlis, realizing that there's this point of hanos and lehegdish which places me in a pre-pidyon state, but if it's a pre-pidyon state, how can you say nishchotin be'itlis, that it can be slaughtered in a butcher shop? Doesn't it need to be subjected to hamod avarocha to stand up on its own to be evaluated? Elo li'olam la'achar pidyon. This source that we opened up our Gemara at the top with is talking about a point in time after the blemished sacrifice had been redeemed. Umay hanosan lehegdish. So what does it mean that the hanoh, that hegdish benefits? Answer, ade me ikora. It's referring to the point in time, the initial point in time. What does that mean? The kevan deshori luhu mor. Since one knows that he will, after redemption, be able to sell it in a butcher shop and shecht it, slaughter it in a butcher shop, and be weighed out and sold by weight, so tofi uporek meikora, he will be motivated to add more money for its redemption. In other words, knowing after the redemption he'll be able to make more money from it, so he'll add money for its initial redemption. So this source that says hanoson lehektish is a point that refers to back in time, namely since eventually the money that is used for the redemption will go to Hektish, he will offer since he'll be able to make more money for himself later on, because of the allowance of it being sold in a butcher shop, he will therefore set aside more money in the redemption, which will eventually benefit Hekdesh. Chutz min ha-bechor u-min ha-maiser shanosan le-bailim. The allowance of being sold in a butcher shop and weighed as opposed to sold by estimate, does not extend to a bechor and maiser. And why is that? Because there is no benefit for the Beis HaMikdash in this story. There is no money is going to go to Hekdesh. The money that's received from the sales of these animals is going to go to the owners. So as a result of this point, as we saw before, we're not going to treat them lightly by being sold in a commercial fashion. Bishlamo, now we're about to begin a question that lasts a number of lines, and this is illustrated by the long question mark in the seat immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. Bishlamo b'chor be'itliz hu d'lo mizdabein. I understand that the Mishnah that says that it's not sold, the blemished firstborn male animal is not sold in a meat market. But it can be sold privately. So the Mishnah can be read with a tone of inference, if you will. So Bishlamo b'chor be'itliz hu d'lo mizdabein ha be'beisei mizdabein, but it can be sold in his house. Ela meiser be'beisei mi mizdabein. The Mishnah implies that the whole restriction is it being sold in the meat market, leaving us to think that from one's own house, he could sell the meiser meat. But we were asking, is that really true? Ela meiser bebeisei mi mizdabein v'otanya. We have the following source: b'v'chor ne'amar lo sifdeh. In the Torah, with regard to the b'chor, the Torah uses the word lo sifdeh. V'nimkar chai, it can be sold alive. B'meiser ne'amar lo yigo'el. There's a different word, a different phrase that appears by meiser be'im. It says lo yigo'el, and from this we learn v'eino nimkar lo chai v'lo shochut lo tam v'lo balmum. There is no sale possibility, even if it happened to be slaughtered and it happened to be a blemished animal. When it comes to meiser be'ima, it seems from this source, no sales. Yet when we learned our Mishnah, it seems that there are sales of meiser be'ima, just don't do it in a public fashion. Well, ha milsa kashio le Rav Sheshes b'urta. This issue was a problem for Rav Sheshes in the evening. Vishanya bekadmusa mibraisa. And the next morning, kadmusa means the next morning, he answered this question from a braisa. Now, the braisa referred to, you can see we've dashed underlined the word braisa, and also put an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. A corresponding arrow appears a ways down on the page where the Gemara will introduce the braisa that it's referring to right now. So the Gemara says, Rav Sheshes answered based on a braisa as follows. Hocho, the Mishnah that teaches implies that a sale of Meiser Behema could take place. That's Hocho b'Meiser Behema shel Yisoyim Askinon. We're talking about the Meiser Behema of orphaned children. These are people that don't have much income. U'mishum Hashavas Aveda the Yisoyim Nagu Ba. And because of, this is an expression, Hashavas Aveda literally means returning a lost article, but in terms of, for our purposes, it means because of financial considerations, the Rabbonon were lenient and in effect allow the sale of the Meiser Behema meat, because it's Meiser Behema meat belonging to Yesoimim, orphans. At this point in the Gemara, we have a long bracketed section. Because we'll see that the Gemara gets off with a little bit of a story and a bit of a side point, but after the bracketed section, the Gemara will ask, "What is the brisa that was just referred to?" So we had a question, namely, how can you say that Meiser Behema can be sold from one's house, as was implied or inferred from the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says that the restriction is only from in a public fashion, but a private sale would be allowed, when we have another source that says that no sales of Meiser Behema meat may take place. So we resolved that by saying that the Mishnah that inferred, from which we inferred a leniency, an allowance, that's referring to a specific case of Meiser Behema of Yesayman. So that's basically the answer to the question. After the brackets, the Gemara asks, "My Brisa, what is the Brisa that you were referring to?" And we'll see a Brisa later that in fact says the Meiser Behema of Yesayman is able to be sold. With all of that introduction in mind, let us now go over the bracketed section. Rav Idi, Sarsid Rav Sheshes Havi. Rav Idi was the servant where he waited on Rav Sheshes. Shamamine, and he heard this chidush, this resolution of Rav Sheshes, that there is a situation where Meiser Behema could be sold, and that's if it's Meiser Behema of Yesayman. So he heard this. Ozal Omro Bei Midrash. He then went and reported this teaching in the base Medrash, below Omro Mishmei, but he didn't say it over in the name of Rav Sheshes. He didn't give credit to the author of this answer. Shomar Rav Sheshes V'ikbid. Rav Sheshes heard and was upset. In other words, he heard that his answer was reported in the base Medrash, and he wasn't given credit. Omar, and he then said, Man de Okitz, he who infuriated me, literally stung me, L'aktze akruvo, let him be stung by a scorpion, which Rashi explains means let him be in excommunication. Rav Sheshes, my nafka le mina. Rav Sheshes, why was he so bothered by this? What difference does it make to him whether his name was associated with the halacha or not? The Gemara answers with the following. Di omar av yudah, omar rav, my dichtiv. What is meant by the posuk in Tehillim, which David HaMelech authored, says, Agura v'alecha oylamim, I will dwell in your tent forever. V'chi efshe l'adam logur b'shnei oylamim, is it possible for a person to live in two worlds? Which the word olamim indicates world in plural. Elo Omar David, rather, the following is the understanding. Thusly said David HaMelech, Ribbono shel olam, Yomru dovar devar shmua mipi b'olam hazeh, I want Torah teachings that I authored to be said over in my name in this world. I want things that I have said, chidushim, novel points that I publicized, I want them to be said over in my name in this world. In other words, even after I die, I want my Torah teachings to be reported in my name. The Omer of Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Nechoi. Rabbi Yochanan teaches in the name of Rabbi Shimon by Yochoi, called Talmud Chochem Shomrim Devar Shmua Mipiv Boilam Hazeh. Any Talmud Chochem, any deceased Talmud Chochem, whose Torah teachings are said over in his name in this world, Sif Soisav Doivavois Vakever. His lips either move or flow. There are two different explanations. It's the word dovavos, but it either means moves, or they flutter, or they flow in the grave. The Omar Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Ziri, my craw, what is the pasuk that indicates this? The chichech kiayin hatov holech ledodi lemeshrim dovev sifse yishenim. And now an analogy is used, kekoimer shalanovim, like a heap of grapes that are being readied for the manufacture of wine. Ma koimer shel anovim, a heap of grapes, when left in a heap form, in time, the following happens. Kivon de odom nogea bo, as soon as a person merely touches it, dovev, it starts to flow, the grape juices start to flow out of this pile of grapes. Av tamini chachomim, so too with Torah scholars. Kivon shodom oimer dvar shvua mipiv. When a person says something over in his name, dovavos sif soisov bekever, the deceased Torah scholar's lips flow, so to speak, flow with Torah even in the grave. These, of course, are very deep ideas, this concept of benefiting after death from one's Torah learning when quoted by others. And the descriptions given here require further analysis, but for our purposes, the main point is that Rav Sheshes saw that his Torah teachings were not said over in his name, and that gave him concern that he will not benefit from this brocha of Sivsoisov Doivavos Bakever. The Gemara asks, my brisa, and we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, helping you to align this with the reference to a brisa that was made earlier. What is the brisa in which we're supposed to see there's a special halacha regarding the Meiser Behema of Yesoimim? The Sanya, the source says, Meiser Behema shel Yesoimim moichrin oisoi. The Meiser Behema of Yesoimim, of orphans that develops a blemish, can actually be sold. A Meiser Behema that was slaughtered, from this section of the source seems to say it can't be sold directly, but, in other words, the meat of a Meiser Behema cannot be sold. However, one is allowed to sell the skin, the fats, the sinews, or the horns of a Meiser Behema, and together with the horns, if someone, let's say, wants to buy horns of this Meiser Behema cow, he can buy the horns and pay a lot of money for the horns, and will throw in the Meiser Behema meat. The Gemara asks, "My Komar, what's going on in this source?" The source opens up telling us that you're allowed to sell the meat of Meiser Behema. And then it goes on to say, well, you can't sell it directly. You can only have it included, mavlio, have it included, absorbed in the sale of these other animal parts that aren't under the restriction of sale. So to answer this seeming inconsistency between the Reisha and the Seifa, we have a few hesberim. These are introduced by triangles in the Gemara, and under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin, you can see a triangle is featured, and we've written hesberim lebraisa b'inyan Meiser Behema. These are explanations for this source regarding Meiser Behema. We might add mechiras Meiser Behema, the sale of Meiser Behema. So, Omar Abai Hochi Komar, thusly we are to understand the source. Meiser Behema shel Yesoimim Moichrin Oisoi. Now there's a little ches in the Shita that adds some more words. The Ketzad Moichrin Oso Mavliim Ba'oiroi Ubechelboi Ubegidov Ubekarnov. So according to Rav Sheshes' reading, there really is only one point being taught in this source, and it is that the Meiser Behema of Yesoimim can be sold Behavla. It can be sold by selling one of the other animal parts that are not restricted in sale and charging more for them and throwing in the meat in such a sale. So now we infer from this answer, Michlal de Godol Behavla lo. This would imply that if it's the Meiser Behema of an adult, then Godol meaning an adult, not Yesoimim, then this type of sale, the sale of Havla, would not be allowed. Well, that then gives rise to a long question. My Shno Meha Disnan, what is then different about a Havla sale of Meiser Behema meat from the case of Esrog and Lulav, as is explained in the following source, Disnan, Halokeach Lulav Mechaver B'Shvias. If someone wants to buy a Lulav during the Shemitah year from his friend, what about the Esrog? And Shvius is a year in which commerce done with the Shvius produce is not allowed. So it says in this source, Noisei loy Esrog b'matona, lefi she'eno rashoy l'loko b'Shvius. The Esrog, which was picked during the Shemitah year, has the din of Shemitah on it. It has Shemitah restrictions, so it can't be sold. So how does a person get an esrog for Sukkah? So the owner of the esrog orchard will give it to him as a gift. V'havinon ba. But we ask, lo roslita matona mai. What happens if the owner of the esrog plantation doesn't want to give it as a gift? The omar avuna mavliya lo deme esrog bululov. Here you see a havlaw taking place. The lulav, which is able to be sold because it has, in this particular case, it has a sixth-year din, because a lulav goes according to the time that it blossomed, and that was in the sixth year. An esrog is determined by the time it's picked, and in this case, we're talking about an esrog picked in the seventh year. What we just mentioned is based on a great deal of detail, which we are not getting into in the context of our shir, but the main point is we have an item that we can say is a forbidden type item, namely the esrog, being included in a sale if the sale is done through havlaw when of the lulav, absorbed into the sale of the lulav. So here we see that havlaw is a means of conducting a sale involving something that's prohibited in sales. So then why is it that we inferred before regarding the Meiser Behema of a Godol, where even Bahavlaw it cannot be sold? The Gemara answers, Hosam lo yimu chamilson. The case of the Esrog, it's not so obvious that a sale of the Esrog is taking place. Rashi points out because an Esrog doesn't increase the value of the Lulav by very much. In the time of the Gemara, apparently esrogim were very inexpensive, so that when the lulav sale took place and the esrog was thrown in bahavlaw, the increased price that was being charged for such a lulav wasn't recognizable as being something that's including the esrog in the deal. Hocha, in the case of the sale of the meiser behema, Hacha mucha milsa. Here, the increase by, if I were, let's say, selling bones or selling horns, and I was throwing meat into the deal, the increased price charged for the bones or the horns, which are allowed to be sold, would be an obvious increase in price, showing that meat is included in the sale as well. So that the throwing in of the meat to the deal will jack up the price considerably, and it would be hard to let's say conceal the fact that the meat is being sold. Whereas in the case of the esrog, it's quite concealed that the esrog is part of the deal, as we mentioned before, because it doesn't jack up the price for the lulav by any significant amount. Omar Rava. Rava now objects to Abaye's approach to the original Meiser Behema source, where we had the arrow pointing before to the line with my Brisa. According to Abaye, that source was really referring to one case, the case of Meiser Behema of Yesoimim. So Rava asks, Omar Rava, Imke Meiser Behema Trey Zimni Lomali, why in the original source, and you can see we have dashed, underlined in the original source, the expression Meiser Behema, and there's a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text in which you can align this line with the original line that we're asking on. Why, in that source above, did the expression Meiser Behema appear twice? In other words, according to Abaye, if it's referring to the one case of the sale of Meiser Behema of Yesaimim, so the word Meiser Behema doesn't have to be repeated twice. Elo Omar Rava, Hochi Ko Omar. Meiser Behema Sheyosoimim, Mochun Oso Kedarko. Rava has his rereading of the source, and it says that Meiser Behema, the meat of a Meiser Behema belonging to orphans, can be sold in a regular way, without Havlaw. Meiser Behema de Godol Sheshachdoi, the Meiser Behema of an adult that was slaughtered, it can be sold in the havlaw fashion that we explained before. Now at this point we see a new marking, the diamond, and this is explained in the outside margin under our Mivneh heading. The diamond represents mekoros, sources that indicate the midoraisa nitan limkor basar maiser behemo shehumam la'achar shechita, that from the Torah level, one is allowed to sell the meat of a blemished maiser behemo after it's been slaughtered. In other words, the Torah restriction only applies to selling live maiser behemo animals, but not maiser behemo animals after they've been shechted, after they've been slaughtered. And we've added umishum kach the maiser behemo shiyusomim with regard to the maiser behemo of orphans. Hamidu adoraisa v'tiru mechirasa. The halacha leaves that on a Torah level, and from a Torah level, the meat is allowed to be sold. So the meat of maiser behemo belonging to yusomim is able to be sold. We're not imposing any rabbinic restrictions on that case. So at the Gemara right now wants to know, what is the source for that point that midoraisa, maiser behemo, can be sold? Maiser behemo meat, that is, after it's slaughtered. The diamond here is linked up with a diamond that appears at the top of Lamed Beis, Amud Aleph, where the sugya continues. So in the meantime, we read, Amar Rava, Mino Amin Olah, from where do I know this? Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Vahoyahu usmuraso ye kodesh lo yigal. This pasuk appears in the context of Meiser Behema, and in this pasuk it made mention of Tamura as well. Tamura is the process of replicating the sanctity of a holy animal onto a mundane animal. Well, when does Tamura take place? By the way, Tamura is something that one is not allowed to do, but if he does it, when would it be taking place? When is Tamura activated, this replication possibility? Mechayim, that's only if you're dealing with animals that are alive. Amosai eno nigal. So the nigal has to do with sales. When is it that it's not sold? Likewise, mechayim, because in this pasuk you saw a reference to Tamura and lo yigal. So just like Tamura is something done when the animal is alive, the prohibition of not selling is also when alive. But if the Maiser Behemah has been slaughtered, it could be nigal, could be sold. The Rabbanan imposed a restriction. Don't conduct sales even after Shechita, after it's been slaughtered, in anticipation of sales taking place before it has been shechted, which is usher from the Me'ikar Adin, from the basic Torah's point, it is forbidden to be sold when still alive. So this gezerah is as follows: Dovar hanisham mechayim gozer rabbanan lachar shechita otu lufnei shechita. Something that is sold when it is alive. Rashi at the bottom line says dovar hanisham nimkar, something that's evaluated and sold mechayim kigon basar shikol chashivus debeima eno elo b'shvil basar. The whole importance of an animal, of a living animal, is focused on its meat value. So an animal is, nisham literally means evaluated. An animal that's that which is the subject of an evaluation when it is alive. So the Rabbonin imposed a restriction, gozu Rabbonin la'achar shechita otu lifnei shechita, as the Gemara says at the bottom. The Gemara imposed regarding that type of substance, the restriction of not selling after it's been slaughtered in anticipation of sales taking place before it's been slaughtered. However, dover she'eno nishal mechayim lo gozer rabbanon, something like skins, horns, hooves, things that don't figure into the evaluation made when the animal is alive, those were not imposed. The rabbanon did not impose any restrictions on those things, on the sale of those things. So a Meiser Behema horn, let us say, is allowed to be sold, even if it is that of a Godol. The meat of the Meiser Behema belonging to Godol cannot be sold as a function of the Gezeira de Rabbanon. Ubiyasmi ukmua Rabbanon adoraisa. And with regard to orphans, the Rabbanon established the halacha on the Torah level. And the Torah level says that after Shechita, the meat may be sold. And now the Gemara makes a point, a long point, and you can see we have a nun that's encircled with a vertical descending dashed line. All of the lines develop the following point. The Gemara says, V'af Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok Savar Lo Lo de Rava. Rav Shmuel also holds by Rava that Rava just taught that Meiser Behema, after it's been slaughtered, is allowed to be sold on a Torah level. The Omar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchok Minayin leMeiser Behema shel Yisomim Shemoichin Oisoi Kedako. Notice the diamond that's here. This ties in this point to the Gemara before, where we speak about the potential of sales of Meiser Behema, but of course we're talking about after it's been slaughtered. So from where do I know that Meiser Behema of Yisomim Shemoichin Oisoi Kedako, that it can be sold in a regular sale fashion? Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Rak b'cholavas nafshecha tizbach v'ochalta basar." The Shita Mekubetzes adds in the Ois Aleph, the continuation of the pasuk says, "Kevirkas Hashem Elokecha shernosan loch." And continuing in the Gemara, "Ein zehu davar she'ein boi brocha mechayim elo liachar shchita." The word brocha, it has to do with sales. And what is it that is not sold when it's alive, but sold after it's been slaughtered? Because in the pasuk it says tizbach, and then it says kevirkas Hashem. So kevirkas Hashem we're associating with bracha, meaning a sale, and it said tizbach. So what is it that is not sold when alive, but only after it's been slaughtered? Havi omer zeh meiser behema. This is a reference to meiser behema. The Meiser Behema is something that there is no possibility of it being sold when alive. We know that Meiser Behema takes hold of something that even happens to even have a blemish. This is different than other kutchim, other animals dedicated as sacrifices. They can be redeemed, but a Meiser Behema cannot be redeemed. So there's no scenario of it ever being sold when it's alive. So the pasuk then teaches us what is it that cannot be sold alive, but yes, after it's been shechted. That's a reference to Meiser Behema. So you see that Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok agrees with what Rava pointed out, that midoraisa, Meiser Behema, after it's been slaughtered, can be sold when you're talking on a Torah level. We have mentioned till now this concept of havla'a. We mentioned havla'a with skin, selling the skin of the Meiser Behema and throwing in the meat in the deal, or the horns. Here the Gemara said, what about the bones? If one were to sell the bones of a Meiser Behema, can one throw in the meat into such a sale? One says it can be huvla, you can do this type of inclusion sale, and the other says no. The loy pligi. And here, you'll notice we have this double underline, this velo pligi expression, this double underline with dots in it, because you'll see there are two approaches, both of which agree that there is actually no controversy between these two statements, or these two opinions, of Chia and Rav Shimon Barebi. Ha bedaka, ha begasa. The first approach says that if you're dealing with sheep and goats, those are behema dakas. So there, one, those things are the bones of those animals are not useful for anything. So they're probably not. They're never sold. So if one were to sell the bones of a behema daka and then throw in the meat to the deal, it would look very suspicious. It would look like you're selling the meat. However, begasa, the bones of a behema gasa, like cow bones, they are useful for making all kinds of bone vessels. So since they are sold on their own, I would be able to conduct a sale of havla, throwing the meat into that, because it would look like a sale of bones as is. V'boyesema, idi v'idi, begasa, both opinions, both underlined chad omars are dealing with cow bones. Velo pligi, mar ki asrei, umar ki asrei, and still there's no controversy. Each one according to his town. In the town of he who allows havla, in that town, in his town, they would make vessels out of cow bones. In the other one's town, they didn't use the cow bones for anything. And therefore, it would look very suspicious if one were selling cow bones and throwing in the Maaser Behema meat when cow bones in that community are never sold. And in that place, they're never used for anything. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.